afternoon. Good afternoon.
Blog Talk Radio.
First of all, if you're going to talk about a revolutionary situation, you have to have people who are physically able to wage revolution, who are physically able to organize, physically able to do all that is done.
I'm an angel of David's matrix. Make the great straight faces. Pictures. Summon all the scribes and write this hip hop. Scriptures. Frequency flow, but know the style is off the rickety. Come quick to search. I got this rapper lick. No, I'm not Eve. I'm more like Lily. It's a sister. Bring down the house with all my rebels who's against us. I believe in the luck, but know the devil is existing. Hear what I say. Everything I fit is written. Off the top of my dome, I kiss your mama and your children. Oh, I don't sit down. I gotta think before decisions. If you knew what I knew, you'd do the same thing that I'm fitting. Make your Nicki Minaj. I'm a servant of the law. But if you want it, come get it. I pray on foes like the lot. Official love. I'm an angel of David's matrix. Make me great, great painters. Hands of David's matrix. Make me great, great painters. You know, you know. Angel of David. Miss Angel of David. Miss Angel of David. Yeah.
This show is titled No Room at the Table.
And before we begin the show, I would like to take a moment of silence for our divine creator, which we give reverence to, which is the source of our physical being. And we'd also like to pay a tribute to our ancestors for protecting and giving us our divine guidance and wisdom as well. Then, in the moment right now, we will take and give a moment of silence to the show, to our minds, to our spirits, to our hearts, and to our souls collectively. Thank you. Now, before we move on to the next segment of the show, I would like to say thank you to all of our beautiful mothers, we like to say that we give you much reverence for being strong and powerful. We send restoration, we send power, and we send blessings to your spirit for being the person that we are. It is that time where we approach Mother's Day weekend, and we just want to extend gratitude and love for you, the listeners, and those that decide to listen on their downtime to the segment of the show. And also to the fathers that protect and guide and give reverence to their children, fulfilling the mother's shoes as well, to the sisters and to the collective family that plays their mother role. And now, as we continue on with the segment of the show, I would like to say that I have my sister, Sharonda, which will be with me at this segment of the show, No Room at the Table, and that will be the next voice that you'll hear.
Peace and greetings, everyone. Thank you for having me, sis. And if any of our listeners happen to be local and you would like to come here where we are to be with us this evening while we do the show, you are more than welcome. Just send us a text message or message us on Facebook, and we'll give you the location. But so moving along, this evening, this show will be a very touchy subject, but a very necessary subject that we need to break the ice and begin communicating within our communities. So in having a discussion, what we want to do is focus on family restoration and healing moving forward, family and community restoration. So we want to take our families back. We want to take our communities back. And we want to protect our vulnerable, protect our children, our elders, our disabled, the women. We just, you know, we want to hold everyone accountable, and we want everyone to stand up into their rightful position. Men, you know, we want you to be the protectors that you are supposed to be. So we want to hold each other accountable. We want to hold one another accountable. We want to hold ourselves accountable. We have to start with ourselves first. So this evening, the focus will be protection from predators. We know that, you know, in the media over the last couple of months, there's been big discussions all over social media. It has been discussions amongst families, with different things going on. You notice everything going on, it provokes certain conversations. And when we start having those conversations that we haven't had with a lot of people, we start seeing the responses, and sometimes what we are getting, you know, is disappointing. And you're like, wow, I had no idea that, you know, somebody that's close to me felt this way about predators. You know, they get a lot of free passes. People make a lot of excuses for them. So we want to just tackle all of that tonight and shed some light on different things so that we can move forward in a healthier way. Let me start with defining predator. A person or group that ruthlessly exploits others, an organism that primarily attains food by the killing and consuming of other organisms. So we all know that within every community, I don't want to say every family, but I'm going to say most families, there are predators. And definitely in every community, there are predators. So it has been proven that most of the time when a person is assaulted, it is not a stranger who has just, you know, committed a random act of violence while somebody was walking down a dark alley. It's usually somebody who is close to us that has more access to us on a daily or, you know, regular basis, whether it's a family member, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a family friend that just comes around sometimes. Sometimes it's clergy, you know, people respected in the community, people that hold different positions and things like that. So what is even more disturbing is the high tolerance for the predator's presence in the community. And so we want to shed light on that high tolerance for predators, and we want to open a discussion. I think so. Someone already has a question. Let's see what they have. 804-724. I'm not gonna say the last four, but I'm gonna bring you in case you have something that you wanted to say right now. 804-724. Your line is open. Did you have a question right now?
Cut it off.
Okay. So I muted their line back. I think it probably was an accident. Sister Michelle, she's in queue. I'm going to bring her on. Hey, Sister Michelle.
Hey, ladies. How are you today?
Good.
All right. One question
Thank
I keep to ask is, mm-hmm. when do you think it's time to start giving your children the predator talk?
Hold on. Let me write that down. And then we'll come back to it. Predator
okay.
talk. I'm going to make sure that I mention it. Predator talk at what age? Okay. So, sis, I'm going to bring you back in shortly.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to just cover a few things, and then we'll take the questions so that we can just get through this first part. So the main question is that we have to ask ourselves, that we have to ask our family, and we have to have these type of open discussions in the community. Like, why are we making so many excuses? And why are we allowing known predators to sit amongst us? Why are they allowed to still come to the family cookouts? Why are they allowed to come sit up next to us in church? Why are they allowed to drop past the house? Because, you know, it's a family dinner, it's Easter, it's whatever, you know, it's a Saturday, and everybody normally get together at so-and-so's house. Why are they still allowed to come? Why are we allowing them into our spaces? So even more devastating to the victim, we are allowing the predators to re-enter the spaces of the victim. So not only have they been victimized by the predator, but then they've been victimized by their family for allowing this predator back into their space when that should never happen. So to me, this behavior is abnormal, and we've normalized it and we've tolerated it. So today, like, we want to encourage families to stand strong, stand firm, and if this type of thing is going on in your community, if this type of thing is going on in your family, at some point, someone has to be the person to say no more. Like, this is not going down on my watch. So-and-so has been around for generations. He has or she has molested or he or she has violated several generations of this family, and we still allow that person to come around. So at some point, we have to be strong and stand firm and say you're no longer welcome here. That's why we named the show No Room at the Table. I don't care if it's 8 seats available. There's no room for you here. You need to leave. You're not welcome. Dismiss yourself. You know, if you don't want to remove yourself, we're going to have you removed. So it's like no matter what the relation is, whether it's a father, a mother, an uncle, a cousin, once that person has broken the trust, once they have betrayed anyone, once they have crossed that line and they've shown themselves as a predator by their language or by their actions, they no longer deserve to share that space with us. Like, you are uninvited indefinitely, not just for the week, not just for the month. Like, you're no longer allowed around us anymore. So we have normalized allowing them to continue to come around. And that's how a lot of these predators are habitual offenders. We gave them the opportunity to do it again. How do you regain trust for a predator? Like, you don't. So if they're given another opportunity, they're going to prey and they're going to attack. So we have to accept them for who they are and stop giving them free passes. It's like we keep pardoning what they did when it comes to rapists and when it comes to pedophiles. But when it comes to dealing with other people in the community, we hold a grudge real quickly for something very slight. And it might be something so small as I ran into the food line and I saw Michelle. Girl, don't you know I spoke to her? She ain't part of her lips. I ain't speaking to her again. So, you know, we do it all the time. Something very small, a very small quarrel. You got into it with somebody about, you know, a lover of yours. So we cut this person off. We done with them. We'll be done with them forever. So how is it that we can so easily cut people off out of our lives who have not even violated anyone in the type of aggressive, inhumane way as a rapist or pedophile? So we still allow these people into our sacred spaces, and we tolerate them. So that's very dysfunctional. And we have to be the ones to say, let me break this dysfunction within my family, within my community. Someone has to be the one to break that cycle of dysfunction, because you have the younger generation that is watching every move that we make. And when they see that the predators are tolerated, they are thinking that it's normal, and it's not normal. So the next thing I just wanted to mention is apology. No one is above an apology. Not a mother, not a father, not a grandparent, not an aunt, not an uncle. If you know that you have let down and that you have disappointed your family for whatever reason, right now, you know, the topic is allowing predators into our spaces. If you know that you have let down, you know that you have failed to protect, if you know that you have failed to acknowledge an assault on one of your family members, whether it is verbal or physical, you need to own that. Own that you did not acknowledge what took place. Own your place in it. Evaluate yourself. Evaluate the situation. What can you do moving forward to attempt to acknowledge and to reconcile with your family, because you hurt them? You failed to protect them. So it's like the person is victimized more than once. And if the family allows this person in time after time and to continue to be around them, you are continuously victimizing this person. So when you don't even acknowledge what happened, you are not creating a healing environment for the person who was victimized. So anybody who is listening, if you need to have a conversation at the table with your family, like, find a way to break the ice. You know, such and such happened to me, and I reached out to you, and I told you, and you didn't acknowledge it, or you dismissed it, and that hurt me to my heart. So you have to acknowledge your role in what happened. Nothing is going to go away by you dismissing it, by you repressing what happened. So if a lot of the times, if a person did that, is a high chance that something may have happened to them. So if you need to get family therapy for everybody to move forward, then that may be something that you need to consider. But not acknowledging what happened, not addressing it, that's creating more dysfunction. And what we want to do on this show is break that generational dysfunction. So someone has to be the family's liberator. Somebody has to be the one to call the meeting. We all know that there may be some things like backlash that you get from your family when you want to call that type of meeting, because it brings up some hurtful things. And when people dismiss those type of things, you know, people harbor it. People harbor those emotions. They aren't able to deal with it sometimes in the proper way because everyone has told them, you can't deal with this. We just going to act like this didn't happen. So that's not fair to the victim, and it's not fair to any of the other family members who's watching, because if they see that, they're not going, if something happens to them, they're not going to want to tell you that it happened, because they know what you did to so-and-so, and they know that you basically dismissed what they said. And then that happens in a lot of families. Multiple people are violated and victimized, and it's all brushed under the rug. So moving forward, in a healing aspect, like, we got to talk about the safety, protection, and not within our family. Holding people accountable, breaking this cycle. Do you want to break this cycle of dysfunction, even though this is a hard but necessary topic to discuss within your family, or do you want to continue the pattern? So each family is different. Each situation is different. So you have to figure out within your family, what is the best way for me to address this? How can I open this conversation to let them know moving forward, this will not be tolerated? It's 2018. Today, after today, March the 8th, 2018, this type of behavior will no longer be tolerated amongst our family. When it comes to the community, we have predators out in the open that are attending our churches. They attending functions and events just like, you know, there's no tomorrow, like nothing ever happened. So who are going to be pulling these people aside like, listen, I'm coming to you and I'm letting you know you at this gathering, I'm uncomfortable with you here. I know that you're a predator and I'm going to ask you to leave. So if they don't want to leave, we might have to force them to leave. And it's nothing wrong with that. They should be made to leave. So then we have to ask, like, whoever's having these functions, whoever having these gatherings, somebody having a cookout, like, you know, so-and-so here. Okay, well, I want you to ask them to leave. We uncomfortable with them here. If they don't want to ask them to leave, okay, then we leaving. I'm not coming back to your house. I'm not coming back to any of your events or you know, whatever you have going on. I'm not coming back into your space if you're comfortable allowing predators into our space. I'm not going to be in attendance, and I'm not bringing my family. We have every right to do that. We should not have to go to certain functions, and we have to watch our children. You know, we're supposed to be amongst family, and we got to watch our children just like if they're at a park full of strangers because we don't know what predator might do. So it happens at church. You go to the church, the community known predator is there. We should be pulling clergy to the side like, hey, listen, you know, so-and-so did this to so-and-so. We know this for a fact. We don't want them here. It should be nothing for us to have these type of conversations. The men in the family, they should step up and speak on the women's behalf. But I noticed that when it comes to these type of topics, a lot of the women are doing a lot of the protecting. A lot of the women are doing a lot of the talking and standing their ground, protecting, you know, protecting their own family. So we have to set demands, and we have to not be afraid to set demands. We deserve it. Our communities deserve it. Our children, everywhere, everyone deserves to feel safe. No one deserves to be sitting around predators. No one deserves to have to relive that. Can't find it in them to say, hey, this is it. Don't bring them back. We don't want them around. If you're going to have them around, we're not coming around. You know, real simple. Sometimes we got to be the one to make those type of necessary changes when we see that the rest of the family and the rest of the community is not doing it. We have to be the one to do it. I just wanted to bring up something for everybody who could take notes. It's a village in Africa called Umoja. And it's spelled Umoja. It's a village in Kenya, and it is a woman-only village. All of these women are survivors of violence.
they, you know, have either been dealing with domestic violence, they've been raped in the community, different things like that. So these women in the village said, no more. They created a woman-only village. Let me find the video. I'm going to find the name of the – okay, the name of the video is – hold on 1 second. Because it's about 25 minutes long, but it's very liberating to see how these women stuck together and said, we are not allowing this to happen in our community. So what we're going to do is create our own community. And the only time a man is allowed into that community is when they give him permission. So you know nothing is going down because they're going to handle it if it does. The land of no men inside Kenya's women-only village. And, yes, they do have men, but they allow them in, you know, certain times, and it is a proper protocol that they have to follow. You just can't come prancing into that village because they know they have to protect the women. They have to protect the girls. They have, you know, their own security set up where the women are on standby. If anything happens, they're always on guard protecting the village. And it's because they've been so abused and exploited by the men. So, you know, they have to learn the hard way. If you don't respect and appreciate us, we can't remove ourselves. So the name of that YouTube video is The Land of No Men Inside Kenya's Woman-Only Village. It's a refuge for the survivors of sexual abuse. So I really, you know, I watched that and I cried. And I was like, but this is so necessary. This is the stuff that we have to do when we're not protected. And it's sad to have a woman-only village, but they had to find a way. They had to find a way economically. They take care of themselves so that they don't have to depend on outside help. And so another topic that I wanted to cover, and I'm – okay, it's about 7:30, so I'm going to try to wrap it up within the next 15 minutes for the questions. So another conversation that I wanted to have is the one-way street when it comes to, like what Sister Michelle said, when it comes to the talks that we have with our children, we have with our families, is a one-way street. We teach the girls and how to minimize situations for us to be assaulted. We tell the girls do not wear provocative clothing. We tell the girls to travel in packs. Do not travel late. Do not travel alone. Do not use recreational drugs. Do not use alcohol. You know, take self-defense classes. Add this and that to your keychain in case you got to gouge someone's eye out. You know, we push how not to get raped. But the problem is we're not having those predator conversations with the children about respectful communication, teaching how to respect the opposite sex, talking about consent, talking about, like, misogynistic behavior that we have normalized, like touching women, you know, groping women, somebody pass by, you know, they're going to accidentally rub up you some type of way while they coming through, making excuses for the behavior. So, you know, we know that, like, this is a rape culture that we are in, and, you know, it's in our music. It has just been normalized. And then we have the judicial system that continuously lets the victims down by giving the perpetrator slaps on the wrist, by shaming the women. A lot of men, I'm not going to say just women, because we all get assaulted, men and women. But when a victim is in court, and that's why a lot of people just opt out of even saying what happened, even reporting the assault, because you know that you're going to get ripped to shreds when you're in court. They're going to come with everything out of the woodwork to say why you are not credible. God forbid if you even had one cocktail, you are not – you know, none of your word is credible at that point. If you had on a miniskirt, they're going to use that against you. But, like, we don't create rapists. Our clothing don't create rapists. Our hair, our makeup, none of that creates rapists. So we need to have those two-way conversations about how to minimize, you know, how to protect yourself from being assaulted. And then also, what is the predator behavior that we have normalized? You know, yelling out the window at women. We get assaulted all of the time. We get the aggressive behavior. If we don't want to talk to a person, you know, we get that people get real aggressive verbally and physically with us. So we got to have those type of two-way conversations to let the young children know that it's never okay. Sister Michelle, I think that we need to have those conversations like really early as a person, as early as a child is able to understand what you're saying, because they're going to see the behavior. You know, the 2-3-year-old toddlers, they see the behavior. They see their uncles, their fathers, whoever else. They see them. They see the way that they watch women. They see the way that they behave with women. They might see them yelling out the window, touching. They see all of that. So as early as we can, you know, children are very smart. They pick up on things so easily. So we have to start teaching them that's not okay. Another thing that I wanted to mention was policing our own communities. We know that we have a big issue with enforcement, law enforcement coming inside of our communities. And we know that sometimes we may call enforcement in for something small and someone end up being dead. So I don't think that outside enforcement is always necessary. Family should have their own enforcement. If you have men in the family, that should be your enforcement. We should not always have to call the outside. There should be a proper protocol in place where you have a predator that has been exposed. You know, let the men deal with it in a certain type of way. But like I said, a lot of the time it's falling on the women to have to handle these type of things. And you have women serving life sentences for protecting themselves from a predator or for protecting their children from a predator. So, you know, we should have that within our community as well. We should be able to police one another. Okay, so the last thing that I want to touch on, and this is, to me, a big one, because it's something that I have struggled with for a long time, and it's something that I really didn't understand. So I was talking to Sis about it the other day, and I was telling her exactly how I felt. And then, so, you know, as I was reading that night, I was like, okay, I'm not the only one who feels this way. So forgiveness is a big, big thing once a person has been violated by a predator. That's what everyone pushes, forgiveness. In order to heal, you have to forgive your predator. This is my opinion. Forgiveness means different things to different people, but I see how it's pushed. And in my heart, I do not feel that forgiving a predator is a requisite for healing. I feel like the term forgiveness is misunderstood. I feel like it's constantly misused, and that term, you know, is pretty much overrated. We're not using it the right way, because we will have a victim feeling like in order for them to move forward, you have to forgive your predator first. You are not, you know, allowed to sit and be angry, to sit and resent that person. This person offended you. So forgiveness, the definition of forgiveness is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, a flaw, or a mistake. To pardon, to exonerate, to excuse, to cancel a debt. So to stop feeling angry. Okay, so let's define anger. An intense negative emotion ranging from mild irritation to rage. Now, anger is a normal emotion. unless it's excessive, unless it's consuming you, unless it's interfering with your day-to-day routine. You know, you're not able to sleep. You're not able to eat. But you're not able to concentrate. You can't go to work. This anger is just consuming you. Otherwise, anger is normal. And we should always allow people to be angry. If a person has been assaulted, allow that person to be angry. Resentment is a mixture of disappointment. This is the definition. A mixture of disappointment, anger, fear, bitterness, dissatisfaction, displeasure at being mistreated. It says it's the three basic emotions of disgust, sadness, and surprise. So a person should be allowed to be angry, and a person should be allowed to have resentment. That is normal, to have dissatisfaction, to have disappointment, to have fear, anger, and bitterness. That all of those are normal emotions that we all should be able to have without a person pushing and pushing and pushing forgiveness. You need to focus on forgiving that person. When somebody violates you, it's an inhumane crime against humanity. So we're talking about like a rape, talking about being molested. We're not talking about a minor crime. And like I was saying earlier, people go to their graves with resentment. If a spouse cheated on them, if a friend betrayed them, people will cut you off if you hung out with somebody that they had beef with and mean it and be done with you for the rest of your life. People have resentment towards baby mamas and baby daddies. So bad, they resent them so bad that they can't even co-parent. So you're mad with family members. You're mad with people for gossiping. You're mad with people for stealing from you. You're mad with people for lying. All of that is considered normal. And they know that you're mad, and they know that you cut that person off and that you're done with that person. But for some reason, when it comes to a serious crime, something inhumane as to sexually assault a person, it is being pushed to forgive, forgive, forgive. So it's like when a person crosses you up, it's your choice how you choose to deal with that person. If you want to refrain from communicating with that person, if you do not want to share the same space with that person, if you don't want to be at the church while that person is there, you don't want to be at the family cookout while that person is there, that is, you know, you have a right to do that. You have the right to say, I never want to see that person again. You have every right. Everyone has their own personalities moving forward and healing. Everyone has their own methods that work for them. Forgiveness might be the answer for one person, but it does not have to be the answer for the next person. And I don't feel that it's fair to keep pushing and pushing and pushing that a person needs to focus on forgiving that person in order to move on. Like society has us thinking, in order to move on for a healing, we have to forgive that person. You may forever dislike that person. You may forever be disgusted. You may forever not to want to reconcile. And that is okay. That is normal. And you may have very well moved on with your life in a healing way, in a very productive way. But you don't have to say, I forgive my perpetrator in order to move on. But people push it, and that's what everybody is waiting for a person to say, okay, yes, they have moved on. We have mental health professionals that's pushing that, and we also have, people in religions and people's spiritual families and things like that pushing. You have to forgive a person in order to move on. That's not necessarily the case. So if you don't have the personality that says, I need to forgive my perpetrator in order to move forward, you have been given permission not to do so. If you feel like somebody has pressured you into saying out those words, I need to forgive that person in order to move forward, I'm telling you now, you have permission to move forward with your healing, whether you choose to or not to forgive that person. You forgive and you cope. You use your coping mechanisms. You know, you express your anger, express your pain. Get rid of those feelings of shame and guilt. If you have those, yes, forgive yourself. You know, once you get to a certain point, then the anger and the resentment may no longer serve a purpose. But you are in control of your healing. Others do not get a chance to tell you how you heal. If you felt powerless within that situation, where you were assaulted or where you were attacked, violated, you were not in control at that moment. But when it comes to your healing and you moving forward, you are now in control. Other people don't get to tell you how you move forward in your healing. You follow your divine energy. You ask for divine guidance. What is the best way for me to move forward in healing? Because people make the statements like, once a person is assaulted, they sit back and they focus on the perpetrator. And in our reality, a lot of people have moved on with their lives. Of course, you're going to think about it. And you are free to be upset when you think about it. We should not be telling people you're not allowed to be mad. You know, I don't care if it's 50 years later. If you're upset, you have every right to be upset. And we're not saying to, you know, like be excessive with it. You know, if you're having that problem, then you definitely, you know, you need therapy. You need support. You need different things like that to learn how to cope with it in a healthy way, because we know that the negative emotions cause health issues, depression, liver problems, kidney problems, high blood pressure. And we definitely don't want you blocking out and repressing the event that happened because a person told you that that's what you needed to do in order to move forward. And you know, now you done left everything unprocessed. So you still have that repressed anger and resentment because people have forced you into believing that you need to heal in a certain way and to forgive a person in a certain way in order to move forward. But, you know, the person or event, if that has an emotional hook on you, you want to be released from that. You know, you want to be able to get control over that situation if it has control over you. You may not stop ever being angry when you think about it, and that's totally fine. But you want to release yourself from it, you know, from that weight if it's weighing you down mentally and emotionally, and you have to figure out the best way for you to move forward. So one more thing about forgiveness. I think that we prematurely forgive, and I think that's what put us in a lot of situations to be hurt again by these habitual offenders, by the same perpetrator within the same family. So you're legitimately angry. You know what I'm saying? Allow yourself to express that emotion without prematurely forgiving because somebody has told you that that's what you needed to do. And sitting still and not rushing to move and heal in the way that other people have taught you or told you, or the way that, you know, if it's not working, it's not working. Everyone has their own right to heal in the manner that they choose to. If you need to just sit still for a minute, it's wisdom in sitting still. Focus on yourself, not focus on forgiving a perpetrator. If that's not where your mind is, people will put your mind there and say, oh, well, you need to do this in order to move forward. But you allow your natural process of emotions to take place, such as anger, being sad, if you're depressed. Those things are natural. Those things are natural as long as you are not drowning in it. So it's an entire journey that is yours. If you have been assaulted, that's your journey. Love yourself. If you're blaming yourself, forgive yourself, because a lot of people will make the victim feel like they did something wrong. I don't care if a person was drunk, high, naked, passed out. I don't care what it was. A person does not deserve to be violated. So you focus on yourself and creating a healing environment for you and for your family. Be free to heal. Be free to face it. Feel those emotions so that you can move forward. So Okay, that was a mouthful. All right, so like this is a very deep this is a very deep subject. So we want to have these type of conversations. We want to empower one another. We want to educate, and we want to definitely create safe environments and hold people accountable for their actions. It's time for us to step up, protect our families, protect our community. So we have a couple of callers who are in queue for questions. So let's see. I'm going to bring Sister Michelle back in just in case she has some input on that. Sister Michelle, you here?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yes, thank you. You answered the question. I was just trying to, I have a couple family members that was asking me that question, when do we start? So you did answer the question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sis. The next caller is 540-388. You are on.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, sisters. How you doing? This is Sister Monica.
Hey,
also
sis.
Also known as my room bae. Hey, sis. I just want to kind of talk on the subject of the pedophile real quick. That is definitely a very touchy subject that I fear all the time because I see it happen to other people. It never happened to me. But I've heard of it happening to other people, kids, and it's just really a touchy subject to me. And I just wanted to say for ladies, please, please stop letting any and everyone around your kids and let everybody watch your kids. You cannot, just because it's an aunt, uncle, brother, sister, grandmother, grandfather, or even the father, cannot trust everybody. Those are the main ones that's out here doing the stuff to these kids is known family members. You
exactly.
can't just let any and everybody around your kids. And another thing, okay, if you want to go jump from relationship to relationship, that's on you. Do your thing, boo. But in all reality, don't have these different men around your kids or watching your kids while you out running to the store real quick or run out to go party and all this and that, and you figure, oh, my boyfriend at home. Come on now, don't do that. Don't put your kids in that situation for them to get hurt like that.
Right.
Don't
exactly.
do that. You know what I'm saying? You can't, that's something you definitely can't do. And also, listen to your kids. If your child come to you and tell you, mommy, daddy, or auntie, uncle, whoever, touched me inappropriately or whatever, you act on it right then and there. Do not wait. Just act on it right there. Always believe your kids to the fullest. I don't care if your child tell you 1,000 lies every day, all day long. If your child come to you and tell you that somebody touched them inappropriately, you act on it right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, parents, please check your kids' cell phones, their laptops, computers, and all this and that to make sure they not talking on the computer or the phone with somebody from the internet, because we see it happen all the time. These teenage girls smelling themselves. These guys know that they're teenagers, and they come on there, lure them on the internet, get them to meet them somewhere, promise them a meal or promise them some Michael Kors shoes, bracelet, earrings, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To lure them wherever they want to take them, and then there you go. They're missing. Sex trafficking is so huge up here in Spotsylvania. Not only in Spotsylvania, everywhere, but up here in Spotsylvania, it's like every time you turn around, it's like coming up. It's so many darn kids that's missing or human trafficking. I mean, it's a lot of it going on. When it hits home, that's when you're like, dang, really? It really opens your eyes up when it hits home, you know? And another thing that I want to say is, women, this is my big thing. This is the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'll get off here because I can go on, and I know y'all don't want to hear me keep going on
go
and
ahead,
on.
Sis.
But I
go
just
ahead.
Want
but
I just
go
want
ahead.
To say, women, get armed. Get armed, I'm telling you. If you don't, if you are a felon, don't, you know, can't be around a gun or whatever, at least get yourself some stun gun, mace.
Right.
Go take some self-defense classes. I mean, or get a knife or a machete. It doesn't matter what it is. Get yourself armed and never, ever leave home without it.
Mm-hmm.
Never leave home without it. And if any women that would like to go to the range and shoot, they can hit me up, and I will be glad to meet you there, and you can shoot my guns or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be glad to go with anybody if they would like to start, you know, practice shooting or get
mm-hmm.
into, you know, arming themselves with, you know, guns or whatever. I'm all
so
for
it. So,
sis,
get them your
you.
Email address so they can contact you.
Okay. My
if they
email
want
address
to.
Is Monica. Okay. It's MonicaFortune78@yahoo.com. Yes.
Yeah.
And anybody can, you can give me a contact email or hit me up on Facebook Messenger or whatever it is that you want to do, and I'll be gladly to meet you at the range, and, you know, and we can, you know, go and get
mm-hmm.
that started, you know. But I just want
Thank
you
for
to really
sis.
Think about the fact
mm-hmm.
that having these men around these kids, you can't just
right.
have any man around your kids. For one, you don't want to put your child in that situation because in the long run, who's going to be hurt? The child. It's going to be scarred
right.
for life because you don't put your child in a situation that your child shouldn't even been in the first place.
Mm-hmm. True.
So
and they've been dying
and
left and right.
Even,
yeah.
Yes, and that goes even for preachers. Don't think because he, you know, supposedly be a man of God or whatever that he's not going to touch
mm-hmm.
a child. He's a man first.
They do
and
it all the time.
All the time. And don't think because it's a teacher or a police officer or somebody that you really think that you can trust. Nobody
right.
is off limits. Nobody.
Exactly.
And I'll
Nobody.
Leave it at that.
Thank you, sis. Really appreciate that because that's something that I didn't mention just because, like, when you talk about predators, it's like so the topic it's so broad. We
yes.
definitely got boyfriends and girlfriends murdering people's children all the time. They're being left
hmm.
with them. And next thing you know, they missing, they dead. And then we also, you have people, like you mentioned, the internet, sex trafficking.
Hmm.
There's so much sex trafficking
yes.
going on while children are still living at home. Because they leaving,
yep.
and then they come in, the traffickers are making sure they go back home at night. And they communicating
yep.
them, communicating with them through the cell phones. But if you tell your mother or your father that you're coming out here and I got you turning these tricks, I'm going to kill you and your whole family. What do a child
hmm.
do in a situation like that? Adults are barely
exactly.
equipped to handle those type of things. So
yep.
you never know. You got to, like, randomly, you know, people think that that's an invasion of a child's privacy. But you have to find a way to keep keep track of that type of thing because it's happening
yes.
in so many different fashions. But thank you for calling
yes.
us, sis. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You're welcome. The next caller is 202-716. I'm going to unmute your line.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good evening. Good. Thank you for
All
listening.
Right. Yes, ma'am. I had a question, like, how do you actually forgive and move on when a person don't actually tell you the truth?
In a situation like, so who is not telling the truth? Like, if a person never confessed to actually knowing
yes.
they did,
yes,
but you
ma'am.
Know that they did it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So, like, were you on listening when we were talking about the forgiveness part?
Yes, ma'am.
So, you have to do what works for you.
Okay.
Of course, I'm sure it would be, you know, if this person has violated someone, then it would be in your best interest to not allow that person into your space, to make sure that it doesn't happen again to you, your family, or, you know, anyone else, if you can prevent it from happening, you know, prevent it by making sure that person doesn't come around. But as far as how you move forward with that person, how you move forward with healing from that hurtful thing and knowing that this person that, you know, I'm glad you said it because that's another whole topic. If you know that somebody that you love has violated someone, that's very hurtful too. Just to know I have a family member, I have a cousin, I have a brother, an uncle, an aunt, and I love this person. And you mean to tell me that they violated somebody? So you have to figure out the best way for you to move forward. You don't, like I was saying earlier, you don't necessarily have to say, I forgive that person, but you can still be set free from that situation. And maybe you're harboring something, and maybe you need to forgive yourself. Maybe you know, you don't need to beat yourself up about the situation that happened. If you can talk to that person and this person still, you know, does not want to acknowledge what they did, you're not in control of that. You're only in control of yourself. They might take that to their grave like a lot of people going to do. So you can't, you know, if you focus on them being honest and how you feel about that person, if you need to cut that person off, then cut that person off. It's clearly a person. A predator is no one that we want in our company. So, like I said, forgiveness is not a requisite for healing. Whatever calls for you to heal moving forward, for that not to fester inside of you, you know, whether it is cutting that person off, whether it's meditation, you know, whatever it is, you're free to be free to heal and to remove that person out of your life without feeling obligated because they hold some type of certain relation to you. You're not obligated to deal with that person.
So even if it's like a parent.
Right. If it's a parent, we love our parents. But some of our parents do some foul things that, you know, it's hard to get over, especially when you're saying something of like a sexual predator. You might have to release yourself from that person for the rest of your life if that's what it takes for you to heal moving forward. If you want to forgive that person, but this person is not even willing, this person is not even willing to acknowledge what they did to you and to own it and to accept it. And maybe, you know, they go to counseling. Maybe y'all can all go to family counseling. You know, maybe the same thing happened to that person. Maybe the same thing happened to the family member. So you would know exactly where that, you know, that predator energy come from. Somebody did that to them, which happens a lot.
Okay.
So if they're not willing to engage in something healing for everybody, you know, you just got to let that happen on its own time. But you got to move forward with your healing regardless if they're willing to participate or not.
Right.
And it's hurtful to have to, you know, cut ties with people sometimes. But if it's interfering with your healing, then sometimes that's what we got to do. And if you don't, you know, as your parent, you don't want to cut them off completely. Sometimes you just have to deal with people from a distance, like a very far distance. But whatever it takes for you, if that person is not there, like you can't force that person to be honest and you can't force them to be in the same mental space as you. Because clearly, if they are a predator, something is wrong and they need help. If we can't make a person get help, if we can't make them be what, you know, we can't make them be who we would like them to be, unfortunately.
Right.
And it's hurtful because you love that person. Especially, you know, for a parent, you love, you know, this is why a lot of times children, you know, they still gravitate towards their abusers because, you know, it is a psychological thing. And we love these people so much that it's hard not to have, you know, it's hard to cut somebody so close to you off. Like, you share the same DNA with this person. This person is part of who created you. So it's difficult to cut them off. But if that's what it calls for your healing, that's what you got to do. And you can always, you know, reach out to us if you want to talk in private. You know, without giving any personal details, you could remain anonymous or whatever. But if we can't guide you and assist you in any type of way moving forward with your healing, we're just letting you know that we're here.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right. Have a good evening.
Me too.
The next caller, 804-296. I unmuted your line.
Okay, yeah, this is Jennifer. I want to commend you for talking about this subject tonight. A lot of people don't explain to their children at a young age, mm-hmm. you know, what can happen when they, in the course of family members.
Right.
My daughter happened to be in the presence of a cousin's boyfriend that's been in the family for years. So, you know, that can consume you. And he sexually assaulted her, and I was out on vacation. So he planned to get 11 years because of the assault. But my mom had to go to work, and the babysitter that was supposed to babysit, which was the aunt, couldn't do it. So the little cousin decided to do it, and it was her boyfriend that sexually assaulted him or whatever. So me being working at a prison for 6 years and was exposed, 6 years, and was exposed to all this stuff. You know, you got to sit down with your girls, especially even little boys, but you got to sit down with them and let them know, hey, this is right, this is wrong. If anybody ever touch you or do anything to you, if you can't tell an adult right away, make sure when you get them to, you know, yourself, you make sure you tell somebody. And my daughter at 4 years old knew all of that and was able to do everything to bring this man to justice after being in court 2 years because the Commonwealth attorney, Dean Atkins, was crooked. And you know, I still managed to get justice. So definitely talk to your kids and let them know, hey, this is what can happen. Family member, mom and daddy, stepmom and daddy, grandfather, it don't matter. Whoever is prone to mess with your kids. They know better than nobody else. And so, like for 7 years, I have never been to Myrtle Beach because I was in Myrtle Beach on vacation. So this year, along with healing, I'm never going to forgive them. So I side with you 100% when you say take your time. You know, being angry is a natural emotion. So I'm never going to forgive him, but I'm not going to let it consume my life either.
Exactly.
So this year, actually, when I go to Myrtle Beach, it's going to be, you know, I'm not going to party or anything like that. I'm going to have fun, don't get me wrong. But when I go to Myrtle Beach this year, it's definitely going to mean something because for 7 years I let you consume my life because my kids don't go with nobody else except for my mother. But this year, I'm going to step out there in faith and be like, hey, I'm going to go to Myrtle Beach again. And, you know, God willing, we're not going to have the same outcome as we did 7 years ago.
Right. Definitely not.
So
I'm glad you have mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be my healing process. That's what I'm going to do to heal myself. Because at the end of the day, he got 11 years, and he has a child by my cousin. So I see this little boy all the time, and this little boy looks exactly like him, split image. And, like, I can't even come to grips to bring the little boy to my house. I get all the rest of them, but I don't get him. Because if I get him, if something happened to him, it's going to say, hey, this happened to him because she got him. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I still have to deal with his twin every day, all day, you know. And I know when he gets out, that's something that I'm going to have to deal with when the time comes. But try to fight to keep him in there. Because, you know, my daughter had a voice at 4 years old because I was able to coach her. Coming to find out, he's been doing this ever since he was 12 years old to people in his own family, little kids. But everybody kept it a family secret and swept it underneath the rug. Thank God my daughter, being my daughter, and I educated her early on in life, was able to say something at 4 years old. She wasn't able to say much, but she was able to say, hey, he tried to put his thing in my mouth.
Wow.
And
now
she
just
knew
think
what it was,
told her that,
how it went down. She wouldn't have knew how to do it. So,
and he could have been assaulting more people.
Yeah, and my cousin's daughter got her tooth knocked out at 2 years old. Nobody never knew how it got knocked out. All they were saying was, she hit the table and her tooth came out. So when she started kindergarten, the mama was supposed to go get the help that she needed. She never did it. When she started kindergarten, she went and told all the teachers, the principal, and everything. And he had been doing that to her for years. So you make sure you keep her, your kids abreast on everything. And I'm not scared to tell my story, and I don't care if people know who I am. Because at the end of the day, I feel as though justice was served, not in the jail but just in general. People from my area caught him in jail, and he is having the most miserable experience of his life. And I know this for a fact. You know, community work together behind bars, out on the streets. Oh, they working. So his day is never a day filled of pleasure. He stays in solitary because everybody always get him when he get out. He's 100 pounds soaking wet. And might not add you, he was 6'4 and like 280 pounds when this happened.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, so. And, you know, I couldn't fault my mama for it. I couldn't fault my mama for it because she had to go to work. So the person that watched everybody's kids is where my daughter went to. But thank God my daughter was able to have a voice.
It's glad, good,
go
good, you know,
on,
good things that you,
but I'm
good
not
things
gonna,
that
you know.
Were able to share, you know, information with her, because I have heard people say that they didn't let their family know because when a person touched them in a certain type of way, like, you know, they were never penetrated to create any type of extreme pain. So they thought that it was normal because it felt good. So we got to be giving details to children, you know, this is not okay, not just if somebody touched you, you know, let me know. We got to give details. If they touch you here, like, you know, this is never okay. Like, we got to just really go into detail. And I'm sure that, you know, you did with your daughter for her to be able to verbalize that at that age.
Yeah, she had to go to the center. She had to draw his body parts. She had to get her hair cut out her head. Get her clothes cut off her. Everything. And at the end of the day, the high power prevailed. So I'm going to share my story because when y'all got little girls, they got them cute little bows on and them little outfits and stuff. You keep them G 100%, but at the end of the day, a predator is going to be a predator. All that is going to be a turn on. And a man's normal mind is right mind, hey, that's a little child. But in a predator's mind, that's a piece of candy, and they want it.
Exactly. And I had watched a video recently where this guy was looking at some young boys. So, you know, like a little boy, he was just scratching his belly button. And the predator was like, oh, wow, look at him lifting up his shirt, showing me his belly. You know, they sick. Like, people don't really understand. People don't really understand how deep the sickness runs. Like, they're not,
and,
you know, they're
it's a sickness that cannot be cured. It's a sickness that cannot be cured. If you like blue eyes and blonde hair, that's your preference. In the predator's mind, they always going to like blue eyes and blonde hair. So if they like kids, it's already set. I worked at the prison in the treatment room, and I've seen this stuff going on for 6 years. When they like a child, it don't change. That's what they like. That's what they want. That's their preference. Hey, that's what they're going to go after.
Right.
It does not
change.
And
they came up with a term now, and I can't think of it. But it's a term that they have come up with that they're trying to normalize people who are attracted to children. And what they're saying is, I'm not going to hurt anyone, but that's just my preference. I'm not going to molest anyone. I'm not going to act on it. But, hey, I'm open about it, and I am just attracted to children. They're trying to normalize it. So it's real sickening.
Yeah, inside the penitentiary, they can't have access to no magazines with children in it, no children photos, no nothing. But then you got other inmates that's right beside them that got their children hanging up.
Exactly.
So regardless, they get the gratification, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's deep. Definitely talk to your kids and let them know. And there's no, you know, by age one, they should know. Don't touch me here, don't touch me here. They might can't talk, but they can verbalize physically.
Exactly.
They can, like, point down there, they can point up there, they can point.
Exactly.
So, call them early. Don't wait. I just don't think because you're the only one that watch your child that it may not happen. You got school, you know, on the bus, it happens. But I could talk about this all day too, but I just want to commend you for talking about that.
Thank you.
Because in the black community, people don't like to talk about it. We got people in our neighborhood that we know we done heard stories of, and they sit there and they glorify them in the church, in the community, like they somebody. No, you are
it's
a predator. And a predator that that's what you're going to be. So I appreciate you, and you need to have this topic not even online on the phone, but you need to get have someone in the next community meeting or whatever y'all do, you know, voice that
right.
because it needs to be heard. And I can give another girl or somebody else, you know, the willpower to come forward and be like, hey, this
exactly.
is what happened to me. This is the help that I need.
Exactly.
But I'm done.
Exactly.
Go to
we'll definitely
person.
Do that.
We're going to be on here all night long.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I hope you have a wonderful vacation this year.
Oh, yes. I'm going to enjoy myself with no worries at all.
Right. That's good. All right, sis.
Thank
take
you.
Care. You're welcome.
You too.
So we're going to say thank you again, and we're going to bring in our next caller, 804-224. One second. I'm hitting the button. Okay,
hello.
Your line is open. Hello.
Good evening. How are
good
you?
Good evening. I'm good.
I'm known in my neighborhood as Mama Frida.
Hello, Mama.
This is a very important subject that you're addressing this evening. And I would like to thank you, first of all, for helping people to know that predatory behavior is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about it that's normal. Many years ago, you might remember the singer James Brown sang a song
mm-hmm.
called This is a Man's World.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in year 2018, and a lot of powerful men are being taken down because
mm-hmm.
of their ill behavior. You spoke of mental illness before as it relates to predatory behavior. Not only does it have to do with mental illness, I'm a firm believer that there is good and there is evil in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying mentally, people with mental issues are not, they're sick. There's illness there. But I'm a firm believer that evil does exist. It has a lot to do with energy. It has a lot to do with the spirit of some people.
Right, absolutely.
And I wanted to address the issue of forgiveness as well. I think
mm-hmm.
it's more important for anyone who's experienced, you know, the behavior, the ill behavior, the bad behavior, to forgive themselves first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's possible for some people to forgive. I know that some people can go a lifetime and be unable to forgive the predator. And
mm-hmm.
we're human. We're all human, and
okay.
we each have to address our healing the best way that we can. I don't know. You know, they say forgive, especially church teaches forgiveness is good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that forgiveness should always go in the direction of the predator. The predator is someone who's either mentally ill or is perhaps someone who's open to darkness.
Right.
And the other thing I think is that if there's been that kind of behavior in a family, and it goes on for generations and generations, and I understand that sometimes occurs, it just needs to be stopped. We have to teach our daughters, sisters, aunts, to grow up and be strong women, strong females, respect
mm-hmm.
themselves, teach them about self-esteem, even teach them about ways in which they can protect themselves to help them feel stronger. So that's my bit of wisdom for this evening, if you can call
Thank
it
you.
Wisdom.
Thank you, because I always love your wisdom. I always be hoping that you say something, because I always get wisdom from you. And I was glad that you mentioned, you know, the word forgive, too. When I was reading, the Greek word that they translated as forgive in the Bible, mm-hmm. The word, I'm not sure, even sure how you pronounce it, A-P-H-I-E-M-I, I don't know if it's Aphemi or how you pronounce it, but it meant various things. So, mm-hmm. you know, the Bible has been translated numerous times, and mm-hmm. people pretty much translate it to how they think that it should be translated and push certain verses in certain ways does not necessarily mean that they're always correct in what they're translating it as. It said that that word, A-P-H-I-M-I-E-M-I, meant to remit a debt, to leave something alone, to send away, to desert or abandon, or to divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So when mm-hmm. when you see several Bible verses about forgiveness, it very well could have meant that's something that you leave alone
mm-hmm.
and move mm-hmm. forward. Instead mm-hmm. of, you know, people making it as an emotion that is attached with something and that something that happens has to happen in order to move forward in a healing. So mm-hmm. I think that has been misconstrued myself.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you all, you know, if they also want to take it to that, like I had wrote down some scriptures for people that, you know, firmly believe in the Bible. There are scriptures to support protecting Psalms 82, rescue the weak and needy, deliver them out of the hands of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
you have one of my favorites, Ezekiel 33. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and doesn't blow the trumpet and the people aren't warned, and as the word comes to take a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watch, from the watchman's hand. So if
mm-hmm.
you knew that danger is coming or
mm-hmm.
potential danger and you did not warn and you did not protect, you are just as guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like the, it's like, you know, certain verses are used and pushed for certain things. But we got to use our own spiritual discernment to know what's right and to know what man has pushed. You know what I mean? We got to use our
mm-hmm.
own spiritual discernment for that. So I'm mm-hmm. glad that you had mentioned that, because
mm-hmm.
I was reading about how that word has been, I think, mistranslated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also wanted to say, too, that, and it was mentioned a little bit before, that the perpetrator can, the face of a perpetrator can come in any form,
mm-hmm.
whether it be male or female. And so when
exactly.
the young lady talked earlier about women, be careful with, you know, about the men that you bring around your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you also need to be careful of your neighbors, you know, who they might be. And family members aren't exalted from any of that either. In fact,
exactly.
Statistics have showed those are some of the worst cases.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I was telling sis earlier, I know quite a few men who had their first sexual experiences with their babysitters. The you know, young girls that was babysitting them, they may have been 8 years old and the babysitter may have been like 16, having them do sexually inappropriate things. I've met multiple men who had their first sexual encounters with their mother's best friends, you know, and that type of thing. So, yeah, it works, definitely works both ways.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to add, too, that, you know, even sometimes across the ocean, things are not interpreted properly either
right.
once they hit these shores. And I
exactly.
said that to say that within some cultures, the men in the household, most likely the father, believes that it's his right to give the daughter, if you will, her first sexual experience.
Mm.
And while that sounds really weird and odd and ugly to us, know that there are some cultures that do that, and there are men who are here who believe the same ideology, if you will.
Exactly.
Because it's a man's world. A man gets to have pretty much whatever it is that he wants.
Right. Or they're selling them as child brides. You know, they're 7 years, 8 years old, and they're being sold to 50 and 60-year-old men.
Right.
Yeah, real sickening.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mama. Again. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You too. Bye-bye. The next caller we have is 443-337. I opened your line. 443-337.
Hello.
Peace, brother.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's what's up. It's a deep conversation here.
It is.
Yes, very, very sad. I heard a sister mention firearms, and that should be number one. And as far as healing, I think it'll probably take years and years of yoga, meditation in order to heal. And
right.
But as far as addressing enforcement, I think that it needs to be more of a collective thing. Okay, you want me to handle this? Okay, well, give me something to do it with. If I get in trouble, what are you going to do to aid and assist me if I sacrifice myself and, you know, help me face the law if it comes to down to that? If I have to go out and do some, you know, give me what I need to do to get it done properly. And then, you know, when, like I said, when you know that when they come looking, you know, aid and assist.
Definitely, definitely gotta protect our you know, our warriors who are going to protect the family. We can't leave them to, you know, hang out to dry by themselves. If something ever did come down to something happening and law enforcement getting involved in court issues, you know, that type of thing. We have to protect. Just like we have to protect our freedom fighters, we got to protect our family warriors who are willing to step up and protect the family.
Right. And it's got to be a conscious effort and discussion to protect and support those people who are willing to jump out there like that.
Right. Definitely, I agree.
Material. Yeah, you know, because at the end of the day, people want to respect force.
Right. Exactly, and I think that's how.
Yeah. I hear you.
I think that's how it keeps, how it continues to go on, because nothing, you know, they don't take the community serious. They know they can commit certain crimes, and they know that they're going to walk amongst us untouched. That shouldn't
right.
be so. They should never feel that comfortable. They should know it's going to be a wrath if they do certain things. But,
and
you know, we have been so.
It's out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
There is no forgiving that. There is no forgiving. There's no forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
That person's declared war on the family once they've done something like that.
I agree.
All that Christian stuff, European thinking about forgiveness, that doesn't apply to us.
I agree. And thank you for calling in, brother. You've been the only brother that called in tonight. We appreciate it.
No doubt.
All right, peace.
Peace.
We are bringing on caller 804-472. Your line is open. 804-472. We can hear you. Maybe it was an accident. 804-472. Your line is open if you had a comment. Hello? Okay. Let me I'm gonna mute your line back. If you wanted to speak, just, you know, hit one again. Let's see, this is a weird number. I'm not sure. Okay. I've opened someone's line. Yes.
Hey, peace, Sister Ru. I appreciate your whole presentation.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate you. Yeah, and especially the context that you laid it out in, and the callers, the sisters that called in, sharing their stories or their experiences. It's very, very powerful, very responsible, you know, especially in this day and climate where the celebrity media hype of sexual predatory behavior and rape and molestation is, you know, is just something that the media is doing. It's not, to me, it's not responsible, in my personal opinion, because it doesn't speak to the poor everyday people who go through this on a regular basis, as opposed to high society, rich, wealthy folk who have more than just their own personal harm that they're dealing with. You know, they're dealing with money and fame and media and hype, and I don't really appreciate that, because I know personally people who have been assaulted and hurt by these kinds of behaviors. But what I'll do is just quickly just share, you know, one thing, and I think the brother just kind of touched on it too, which is to, which I've learned in the past from dealing with sexual misbehavior, if you will, which is to aid people who do come forward, you know, in a thorough way. You know, that's what I've learned. Because I know it's difficult for a sister when she has been assaulted by her mother's boyfriend, sexually or rape. Let me put it clearly, you know, you know, and she discloses that to a person like myself and then hopes that she'll get an answer. And if I don't fully engage and participate with the total process, which is to not only at that time in my life, I went to the court system. I wouldn't probably immediately go there today. But I went to the court system, and she was terrified. And so to get her past the pressing the charges and then to stick with her through the relationship with her mother, you know, you could understand all the dynamics that would have went on, and the perpetrator himself, you know, getting a restraining order and all that, then going through the court, the trial, the depositions. I mean, all of that has to be considered. What we're talking about dealing and helping in terms of community dealing with sexual assault, rape, and battery. And that's what I've learned because, you know, at some point I had to take time off from work. It's a sacrifice. And like the sister said, it's not just women, but it's men too. But I dealt with women in this regard. So it's a sacrifice that you have to do to stick with the victim to make sure that they at no point feel abandoned. Because then it's a further hurt, especially if they come out and spoken about it. You then further hurt and put more damage on that person. But anyway, I'll get off that little soapbox and just appreciate the show. And, man, I'm so glad I had time to call in and listen to this because it's a responsible show, and I think that it needs to continue.
Right. Thank you, brother. And I'm going to just, you know, tell you thank you for your sacrifice and for you hanging in there with the sisters that needed the help. You know, I'm sure I speak on behalf of all of the sisters that we give you gratitude and respect and love for that.
Right on. Appreciate that.
All right, brother. Peace.
Peace.
To all of our listeners, for tonight's segment of the show, No Room at the Table, this has been a deep, a powerful, in that very striking subject. And to the caller that called in, to the listeners, and to our sister Sharonda, it was an amazing show. I just feel like we may have to continue this segment of the show. But on behalf of GSC, we'd like to thank you all for calling in, and we send peace, power, and revolutionary love as we join as one to shut out the predators and to uplift those that have been mistreated and violated by the sick individuals in our community. So we say we love you. We give you much love and gratitude as we close out for this segment. Have a beautiful night and enjoy the rest of your week.